are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled, Where Do We Pray?, is the first message in the series, Connecting, a Study of Prayer. It is based on John chapter 4 and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Good morning. I need you to stand with me. We're going to read from Jesus this morning in John chapter 4. This is our scripture text for this morning. Jesus, it says this in John 4. It says, "Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when He comes, He'll explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am He," man. How cool is that? Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come this morning to this house, to this place of meeting, to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come this morning, Lord God Almighty, as those seeking understanding. We come to worship this morning in the Spirit of God and in truth, not in error, in truth. We ask, Lord, that you would dwell amongst this place. Would you open our eyes that we might see and touch our ears that we might hear what your Spirit would speak into us this morning. We praise you for this glorious day that you've given us to live. It's another day of life, and we're grateful for life, for physical life, for abundant life, and for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, what you do in our midst. And this we pray in your most holy name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Last weekend, what did we do last weekend? We celebrated our freedoms and our liberties, didn't we, right? I understand that you guys here broke the church last Sunday. Is that true? I was doing a wedding up in Malibu last weekend for one of our police officers, one of our commanders in the police department, and had an awesome opportunity sharing Christ with the wedding party. Was about there was about 100 people at the wedding, and half of them was from the Irvine Police Department. So Chaplain Frank had a good time helping people meet, know, and follow Christ. It was wonderful, actually. I felt the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. And so there we were celebrating 4th of July and our freedoms. And then this week we've had all our hearts broken, haven't we? Seeing what's going on within our country, the tragedies in Minnesota and Louisiana and Dallas, where we've got, like 8 people that's died this last week, 5 of them police officers as they were assassinated, I guess you could say, or shot. A mess. If there's ever been a time in America where America needs the church of the Lord Jesus, it's now. It's today. This country of ours is never been more divided and broken. And it breaks the heart of God. It breaks the heart of any true citizen of this country, right? If there's ever been a time where the church needs to pray and seek the one that can bring true change into people's lives, it's now, people. To pray for our leaders, that they would humble themselves, right, and seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with their God. Our country needs this now more than ever. The poor families that have lost loved ones this last week, there are some grieving people all across. You know, and God bless these guys. I'm telling you this. Police officers are not perfect. Are you surprised? They are real people that see really bad things, and they are scarred people. Ask the chaplain. I'll tell you all about it. Whatever happened with the shootings, there's going to be internal investigations. It will be figured out. Were they clean shoots or not clean shoots? Some of the video is just terrible, right? But I'm telling you this. These people are generally very good people that are trying to do an incredibly difficult job. And they are the law enforcement community is just in mourning this Sunday. We need the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? You know, Jesus lived in a very violent time, and Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. What we need is people that have peace, people that have peace with God, peace with themselves, and they can bring peace to others. This is a heart issue. All this is a heart issue, people. And Jesus is the one that can transform people's hearts. Father, we just lift before you this country in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, the Bible says to weep with those who weep. And God, we weep with all of the families that are missing loved ones this weekend. Lord, we pray for the wives and the kids, the parents, the dads and the moms, the sisters, the uncles, the brothers. We pray, Lord God, for your comfort upon them. We as a church pray for them this morning. Lord, we pray that, Lord, the message of Christ would penetrate human hearts and that you would remove the hatred and the bitterness and the anger, the unforgiveness, the guilt and the shame, the bondage. We just cry for our country, and we as priests of God pray for this land this day. God, help us to be the peacemakers. Help us, Lord, to help people meet and know and follow Jesus. Because truly, Jesus, that's the answer. When you penetrate a human heart, you change people's human behaviors. You've done that to us, Lord. The mystery of it all. We pray that you would continue to do that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Do I hear an amen this morning? Amen. You know, this morning, my last day in Israel, some of you might know that in April of this year, I led my 9th study tour of the Holy Land. I believe that's right. And it's a wonderful experience. The last day that we were there, we give people an opportunity to go shopping in Jerusalem. And guess what Pastor Frank doesn't need from Israel? Any more stuff. And so I put on my headphones my last day there and listened to worship music, kind of like the songs we were just singing. And I walked through the streets of Jerusalem worshiping God. And actually what I did is I found a perch right on this place. And this is a place where I was just staring out, reflecting on our week. This is a place overlooked. Do you guys know what that is? It's called the Wailing Wall. There's another name for it. Does anyone know the other name for it? It's called the Western Wall. It's the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. What it is, it's the holiest place in Judaism. Now, on top of the Western Wall area is the Temple Mount. And you can see that there is the third holiest site of Islam, the Dome of the Rocks up there. To Jewish people, this is the holiest place in Judaism. And if you go there, you'll see that this is a place where people go to pray. And here's a picture of people on the wall. And what they do is they go up to the wall and they pray. And not only do they pray, but if you look into the crevices of the walls, they put pieces of paper in the walls. How many people has been to the Wailing Wall or Western Wall? Okay, so you kind of know. Now, do you know why they put paper? Prayers. Those are prayers, by the way. So what people do is they write prayers and they stick them in the wall. Now this, by the way, do you guys know why they do that? Does anyone know why? By the way, this isn't the holiest place, the Western Wall. The holiest place of the Western Wall is inside a tunnel. And it's called the Western Wall Tunnel or Rabbi's Tunnel. And if you go in this tunnel, as the tunnel moves, here's the Western Wall. As you go to the tunnel and you break down in the tunnel, as you go into this tunnel, this is the holiest place in Judaism because it's right aligned with what they believe is where the temple was, where the Holy Spirit came and where the temple, Solomon's temple, the second temple was. And so people in here stick the papers in there as well. And if you'll notice, you can see the walkway. This is kind of a secret. The Western Wall, what happened is around 2,000 Jewish archaeologists didn't tell anybody, but they began digging alongside the wall of, see, here's the temple and there's this wall, here's the Western Wall, and they dug down deep and they wanted to find the very marble streets that was there during the time of Jesus, and they dug all along the Western Wall, okay, secretly. And what happened was is that Muslim people praying on the mount heard digging, and they're like, they're doing something. And as a matter of fact, this tunnel started a war. It was called the First Intifada that happened about 2000. It was in the fall of 2000. But now the war is over, and the tunnel is there. And the reason why they did all this, why do they put prayers, why do they go to the wall and pray, people? Does anyone know why? Why do they write letters or prayers and notes and stick them in the wall? Does anyone know why?
They hope their prayers are answered.
They hope their prayers are answered. Why do they do this? They do this because of King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we're going to read this in a moment, but let me just kind of give you an overview. The Jewish people come out of Egypt, and who leads them out of Egypt? Moses, right? So they cross the other side, and how many years are they in the wilderness for? 40 years. What did they live in for 40 years? They lived in tents, okay? So as they're living in tents, God instructs Moses to build him a tent. And here's a picture of a tabernacle or a tent. I kind of like this picture. I've always liked this picture. You can imagine the 12 tribes of Israel scattered around, and God says, put a tent in the midst, in the middle of all the people. And in this tent, when you read this, there is very specific detail of what this tent's supposed to look like. When you come into the gate, there's a gate that you would come into God's tent, and then you would deal with sin at the altar, and then you would have a wash basin, and then you would go into the tent, and it's broken up into two sides. It's called the holy place and the most holy place. And people, if they wanted to connect and pray and seek God, they would come to the tabernacle. Inside the Holy of Holies was placed the Ark of the Covenant. How many people have seen Indiana Jones? Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that is that. Now, by the way, the people after 40 years move into the promised land, right? And they all start living in houses. And one day, King David, who is one of the greatest kings in Israel, is living in a beautiful house, and he sees God's tent. You know what King David says? This is wrong. We're all living in houses, and God still is dwelling in a tent. So he tells God, I'm going to build you a house. And God says, no, you're not, because you've got too much blood on your hands. You are William Wallace to the extreme. But your son can build me a house. And so Solomon, as soon as King David passes away, builds a temple. And it's basically the same thing. There's the courtyard, the holy place, the holy of holies. Solomon builds a huge temple. And check this picture out. I kind of like this picture. It was magnificent, and it was huge. Now check this out. I want to read something to you. Because as Solomon is dedicating the temple, he is... It says that the Ark of the Covenant was brought in, and then the smoke filled the place, and then Solomon began saying these words. And maybe you might want to keep that up as I just read this. I think that would be kind of cool. So kind of picture yourself this. About 930 BC, Solomon builds Solomon's temple. It says this. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. While the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and blessed all the people. Can you imagine that courtyard? Solomon stood before the altar in front of the Lord, in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to our servant David, my dad, my father, with whom your mouth you have promised and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, the promise you made to him when you said you shall never fail to have a successor to sit on before me on the throne of Israel. If only your descendants are careful in all your ways to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant prayed toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servants and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, God, forgive. And when you read this text, King Solomon says, if we're defeated in battle and we come before this place and we pray, hear our prayers. He says, if the heavens are shut up and there's no rain and we come to this place and we seek your face, hear our prayers. In verse 41, he says, when new people or foreigners come to this land to seek the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hear their prayers at this place in the temple. When we go off to war, Solomon says in verse 44 of this chapter, and we go into battle and we come here to seek your face, hear our prayers in this place. Solomon says, when we fall away from you and we come to this place and we pray and seek your face, would you hear our prayers? Ask of God here, Solomon says, and he will what? God will what? Hear you, right? Because of these verses, the Western Wall is the holiest place in Judaism today. They stick notes of prayers to God, believing that the closer they are to the temple, God will hear their prayers and act. Do you get it? Does it make sense? So now, why do they call it the Wailing Wall again? Can you go back to that first picture? Why do they call it the Wailing Wall? No, go back to the very, very first one we showed. Why do they call it the Wailing Wall? Does anyone know? It's a weeping wall. Do you know why? The temple was destroyed. Their temple was destroyed. That's right. And they're waiting for a new temple to come. And they're wailing. This is called the Wailing Wall because of the Dome of the Rock. Because of this, by the way. See, to Judaism, it's the holiest site. But in Islam, it's the third holiest site next to the places in Mecca and Medina. So, and it's funny, when the Jewish nation, after 2,000 years, fulfilled prophecy and came back to their land, they took the temple area in 1967. And what they immediately did is the soldiers gave the keys to the Wadi, or to the Islamic leader of the day, saying, you control the Temple Mount, because the Jewish people didn't want to fight another war. They had just fought one. They didn't want to fight a religious war. And so today, on the Temple Mount, it is controlled by the Islamic religious leader, but the security of the site is controlled by the Israelis. So there's this tap dance that's happening all the time. The Jewish people are praying that someday they can come up on the Temple Mount and pray. See, no one's allowed to pray on the Temple Mount except a Muslim. A Jew is not allowed to go pray on the Temple Mount. A Christian is not allowed to go pray on the Temple Mount. If you've been with me and we go up on the Temple Mount, it's a very intense place. And people are yelling at you and screaming at you the whole time you're there. And don't do, if you did this on the Temple Mount, you'd be in big trouble. And they're watching you the whole time. Don't you dare pray. Because it's only for Muslims. That's called the Wailing Wall. Because they're crying that they want to be able to go up on the Temple Mount to pray. And so when you go there, and this is what's kind of cool. The last day I was in Israel, I was worshiping God and looking at all this. And I was looking at all of this. And it's funny. Guess who doesn't care about the Temple Mount? Or feel like I need to go pray there? Christians. Why? See, Jesus said some really liberating words 2,000 years ago. Jesus went into Samaria. It was early in his ministry. And Jesus was coming back, actually, from his disciples were baptizing in the Jordan down by Judea. And they came through Samaria. And Samaria is kind of the half-breeds. They're half Assyrian and half Jewish people. And Jesus goes to a place called Jacob's Well. I've been to that well. You can drink from the very well that Jesus drank from. It's pretty cool. Jesus goes to this well. It's in the heat of the day. His disciples go away to go find food. And this woman comes out in the heat of the day to draw a well. And Jesus starts getting in a conversation with this woman, says, "Would you get me some water?" And she says, "Why are you talking to me?" And they get in this long conversation. And finally, Jesus says, "Why don't you go bring your husband and bring him back here?" And she says, "Well, I'm not married." And Jesus says, "Well, actually, you're right. You haven't been married. You've been married like 5 times. And the dude you're living with now, you're not married to." And she freaks out. She's like, "How do you know that?" And she perceives he's a prophet. And Jesus says, "Hey man, if you ask of me, I will give you waters to drink from, living waters." And she says, "How are you going to do that?" And then the woman gets in a conversation. She says, "You Jewish people think we need to go pray in Jerusalem. We Samaritans say we're supposed to pray in this mountain." And Jesus says what? "Woman, believe me." I like this. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that we place misworships in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me." Do you believe Jesus? "Woman, believe me. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation's from the Jewish people." Messiah, it's just, there it is. It's the Messiah comes through the Jewish line. "A time is coming," Jesus says, "and now has come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers God seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit," right? "And in truth," right? It's beautiful. Hey, what's Jesus's point? You want to take notes this morning? You open up your worship folder. You can take notes this morning. Here's some fun stuff for you guys to go out to Stonefire or wherever you want to go afterwards and just talk about the message today. Take notes on this. What's Jesus's point? You ready? Write this down. A time is coming when you can worship, when you can pray to God effectively, not at just one place, but where? Anywhere. Is that liberating? Is that good news? How much good news is that? Imagine that. If you're a follower of Allah and you're a part of Islam, you have to make a holy pilgrimage. It's a part of the 5 pillars. It's one of the things you got to do to work your way to God and get God to like you. It's right? Right? All religion is working your way to God through moral effort, right? I have got to be good so God will do it. In Islam, there's 5 pillars of Islam, right? And one of them is you need to go to Mecca and pray, right? Christianity is not a religion. And Christianity is God and his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not works. You don't have to do push-ups to God. That's what Jesus says. He just loves you and forgives you from the cross. Imagine how expensive that would be. What if we did have to go to Jerusalem today in order for God to hear our prayers? How much would that cost you? What if you needed to talk to God today and you got something really on your mind and you figure, man, I got to go buy a plane ticket. Does anyone know what a plane ticket costs to fly to Israel today? Anyone?
Thousands.
A lot of money. Then you got to get a bus. You got to get a tour person to take you up there, and you got to go there just to stick a piece of paper in a wall? Well, that's what King Solomon said. And that's true. I'm sitting there looking out, and I'm just saying, God, I'm so free. I have peace with you. I have peace with me through your son, Jesus. And I'm looking at this going, it's not in Jerusalem. It's not in Jerusalem or Samaria or anywhere, but everywhere. Because this is what's happened, and this is what is so cool. When the tabernacle and the temple was built, the Spirit of God came and dwelled within those buildings. The Spirit of God came and dwelled within those buildings. And actually, when you set up the tabernacle and the temple, there was this dividing wall that separated the Holy of Holies and you. You see, because sin separates you from God. And there's this wall. And it says that when Jesus came, Jesus tells this woman at the well, you know what? A time's coming and now is because I'm here. And let me just give you a little hint. See, have you heard? Jesus went and died on a cross. For who? For you. All your shame and guilt, all the stuff that offends God, it's been removed through Christ. He has reconciled you to the Father, and your sins will never be counted against you. The dividing wall has been ripped clean. You understand? There is access now between you and the Almighty. Now, Jesus said these words the night before he died. He said, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, has been with you, but will be in you. In you. In you. Jesus dies on a cross. He tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Okay? Wait in Jerusalem. For what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Write this down. Note 2. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit comes in you after you've been washed clean of sin. And Jesus did this for you on the cross. See, you're a spirit that dwells in a body. Did y'all know that? To be absent from the body is to be, the Bible says, present with the Lord. You are more than your body. Your body is a machine that you dwell in. Do you understand that? You are a spirit. You are a soul. You are material and non-material self. The Bible says that God is spirit. And it's cool. In Romans 8, it says that his spirit dwells with your spirit that makes you a child of God. But the only way the Holy Spirit can dwell with you is once you've been washed clean. Because God can't hang out with anything unclean. Because he's just holy. So Jesus has taken your sin upon himself and he's given you his holiness and his righteousness. He's paved the way for this, for the Spirit of God to come upon you. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, man, I'm risen from the dead. You guys are in good shape. I've washed your sins away, past, present, and future. Wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come on you. And the Holy Spirit came upon the church 40 days later. Actually, at the Southern Steps. You know what's really cool? There's the Wailing Wall. There's the Temple Mount. And over to the right is where the disciples were praying on Acts chapter 2. And they were at the Southern Steps. The Holy Spirit comes out of the temple and falls upon the believers. And they're born again. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born of Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes out of the temple and dwells within the believers. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, what does that make you? Hey, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, what does that make you? Makes you a temple. You are a temple. Did you know that? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are a temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? You are a temple. God's temple dwells in your midst. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your temples, your bodies. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, what does that make you? A temple. A temple. Did you know that this morning? I'm going to tell you something. You're a temple of God this morning. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel special? Because you're a temple, guess where my temple is going? I can pray in the hallway. I can pray out here. I'm a temple. I can go anywhere and pray in the Spirit, and so can you. Not in a mountain in Jerusalem, not in Mecca or Medina or Samaria, not anywhere, but everywhere. This is Jesus. Is this liberating? Think about it. How does this make you feel this morning? Liberated, free, and give me words. How do you feel this morning just hearing this? It's a theological truth. Do you believe it or not? It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's just true. If it's true, then believe it. Jesus says this is true, that God dwells in you, and you are a temple. And because you're a temple, you can pray anywhere because you are where you are. How does this make you feel? Liberating, freeing, what else? Grateful, what? Powerful, confident, blessed, secure, peaceful. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How does this make you feel? Stir this in for a moment. Jesus is teaching this. This is his words. You are a temple. How does it make you feel? What?
More aware.
More aware, right? See, you can go and pray anywhere because the Spirit of God dwells within you. Right? Here's your notes. Jesus says in John 4 that you can pray anywhere effectively because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Stir that in. Write this down. Note 4. Your body is the temple of God. And since the temple is in us, we can pray anywhere. And this is Jesus' point. He pays for sins. God's Spirit dwells not in a building, but now he dwells. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in a building. Where does the Spirit of God dwell now? In people. This is amazing teaching. This is amazing teaching. Do you understand this? I remember looking at this my last day in Israel, and I said, you know, I'm going to do a series on prayer. This series was birthed out of my last day. We're going to do a series on prayer. We're going to study the mystery of prayer. And I'm sitting there looking out across and just seeing Jesus. All I could do as I watched this was think of his teachings in John 4, neither in Jerusalem, and here I am. And here are these people fighting over a building or a piece of real estate because they believe this is one of the most effective places where God hears your prayers the best. At this place. And I'm sitting here staring at this, and part of me just weeps. And then I just feel so at peace and so liberated that I don't need to go down there and write my prayers on a piece of paper and stick them in a wall for God to hear me effectively. Jesus is not in Jerusalem or not in this mountain, but anywhere. So here's a question for you. How do you get the Holy Spirit in you? Does anyone know? Would anyone like to be a temple of God today? Would that just make you feel really special? Well, for you truly are. You are made in God's image. He sent his son to die for you and wash you clean if you would just accept what he's done on your behalf. See, somebody's going to pay for your sins. You can pay for them yourself. Or you can let somebody else. I know of a person that's willing to cover you and wash you clean. of all the shame and guilt in your life. And he says, accept me. How do you accept? How does the Holy Spirit come in you? If there's a verse that I'd love for you to memorize, it's Ephesians 1:13. Ready? After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. Would you like to memorize that verse? This is a great verse. After hearing the message of truth, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Wow. Truth. After hearing the message of truth, not error, it's truth. After hearing the truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. But hearing it, is that enough? What else do you got to do? Having also what? Believed. So you can hear it and go, I believe it or don't believe it. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, you can say that, Pastor Frank, but I don't believe it's 4. I believe it's 5. You can believe what you want, but it's 4. Okay? Your life will be a lot better if you believe it's 4. Well, I'm not going to believe. I don't believe he died on the cross for me. I don't think he rose from the dead. Well, let's talk. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, what happens to you? In what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. According to this verse, when does the Holy Spirit come in your life?
When you're baptized.
How old were you when you believed? I was 20. September 1985, I was 20 years old when I believed. My wife accepted Christ when she was 4. Her mom prayed with her. She knelt down on her. She still remembers that. That's pretty incredible when you think of a 4-year-old can have something so burned into that I remember this moment. She received the Holy Spirit, according to this verse, when she was 4. I prayed and received Christ when I was 20. How old were you when you received the Holy Spirit in you and you believed?
49.
49. When? Say your number. Do you remember? 30. Anyone younger than 4? Who's the oldest? How many? You received Christ when you were 60. Raise your hand. Joe. Billy Bob. Who else? Anyone up there? How old were you? Over 60 or at 60? Right around 60. Billy Bob, how old were you when you received Christ? Do you remember how old you were? My memory's bad. It was in the 60s. Does anyone receive Christ later? Anyone? How old?
I think I was about 73.
73. Amen. How about you, Harry? How old were you? 74. D-Day vet. Love my brother, Harry. Got great stories. Take him out to lunch. According to this verse, you hear Jesus in the cross. You believe. And what happens to you? You become born again of the Holy Spirit. Hear this. Hear this. Hear this. In John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, woman, Jesus replied, believe me. Do you believe Jesus on this teaching? Jesus says, believe me. Do you believe him? What Jesus is teaching is this. The Spirit of God comes inside of you and you become a temple of God. And when you become a temple of God, praying in Jerusalem or on this mountain is insignificant because a time is coming when true people, worshipers, those that pray to God, will pray to God because they are a walking, living temple. Because I'm preparing the way of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit's going to come on your life. And when that happens, you can pray anywhere you want to, effectively. Jesus says, believe me. Do you believe him? If you do, then welcome to the foundation of an effective prayer life. Because if you embrace this and get this, you're on your way to having an effective prayer life. When you stir this in and go, oh my goodness, God dwells in me. Jesus says, believe me, if you believe him and you live this out, you're on your way to an effective prayer life. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series this summer, an effective prayer life of connecting with God. I mean, really connecting with God, and we connecting with God and God connecting with us. If we're going to travel this journey of prayer, you've got to know this, because this is the basis. Because knowing this means you don't have to go to Jerusalem or anywhere. You can pray right now. You can close your eyes. You can picture the temple inside of you. You can walk into the holy place because of the blood of Jesus deep within your thoughts and say, I am here, washed in the blood of Christ. I can enter the most holy place because I have been washed clean because of Jesus. And the Bible says, I can come boldly before the throne of God because I am his kid, with respect, but with assurance. This is the beginnings of an effective prayer life. Stir this in, brothers and sisters. This is good stuff. This Sunday, or this Friday night, we're going to show a really great movie called The War Room. Has anyone seen The War Room? It was out in the theaters, I believe, a year or so ago. I promise you, hey, I'm going to be here on Friday, and this is what's happening. We're going to have dinner at 6:30 to 7. We're going to show the movie till 7, and then we're going to have a time of discussion. And I'd love for you guys, hey, let's talk about the movie. What'd you think? I promise you this. You watch this movie, at the end of this movie, you will be more jazzed to pray than you ever have before. If your prayer life needs a kick in the royal tush, this movie will give it to you. And then the next week, the next Friday, we're going to show the movie Risen. Has anyone seen the movie Risen? Everybody should see the movie Risen. It is an amazing movie. I think it's one of the best movies I have ever seen. And what we're going to do is we're going to show the movie, and then we're going to talk about what happened on Monday. What did Pontius Pilate do on Monday after Jesus came up out of the grave? Great movie. You guys, we're going to have a lot of fun this summer. We're going to have a lot of fun this summer. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up here. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. Now, I've asked them to sing in a really great song, and this song is taken out of Romans 8. It's one of my favorites. As a matter of fact, this was the song I was listening to when I was at Jerusalem looking at the Western Wall. The song's called "The Same Power That Rose Jesus from the Dead Dwells in Me." Jeremy Camp wrote this song. Guess where he got this song from? Romans chapter 8. And this is the truth. Jesus said, believe me, believe this. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit is power. 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 The Lord has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power and strength and self-discipline. When God comes inside of you, he's buff. He goes to God's gym, right? So, and here's the thing, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. How does that make you feel? That blows my mind. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing the song, and I'm going to, hey people, if you're here this Sunday morning and you are just having a bad week, I'm going to ask for people to come up and receive prayer. Then Mike and Pat, why don't you come up here? My wife, beautiful wife, Cindy, come up here. My brother Mike, why don't you come up here? Pastor Vince, where are you? Pastor Graham's going to be up in the corner over on the right side. Is that right? Is Casey over on the left? Are you the only one? Are you going to go this way? Okay, so check this out. So you guys, now here's the deal. The Bible says we receive not because we ask not. The Bible says to seek the leaders in the church when there's times that you need prayer from the Lord. And God just has a funky way of doing this. And we're going to talk about the theology of this during this series on prayer. But here's the point. If you're here today and you've got physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, financial needs, if you need the power of God to come on your life, maybe you're here this week and you have a bad week coming up next week and you just need someone to pray for you, during these next few songs, we're going to invite you to come on up and let us pray for you. And let's see what God will do. We've seen God do miracles in this church. We've seen God do amazing things because we ask. Effective prayer. So if you're here today and you need a touch from God, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, then you come forward and let us pray with you to receive Jesus and pray for the Spirit of God to come upon you as you believe upon Him. You will not be overshaken. We will not be overcome because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Would you guys come forward and receive prayer with me? By the way, if nobody needs prayer, then let's just sing these songs together. But if you're here today and you need prayer, come forward and let us pray for you. Come on up here. I feel naked up here. Get up here. Come on, Pastor Vince. Brother Mike. Dr. Shaner is amazing. Doc, would you come up and pray with people too? If you need prayer for anything, then this is your time. I like this song.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk. Fear of the unknown, I can't hear
The Lord is in this place. God's presence is here. As the Spirit of the Lord would fall upon the assembly of believers, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Embrace who you are as a child of God today. May you look at yourself the way God sees you. Holy, righteous, forgiven, justified, sanctified, set apart. You are his kid. He's adopted you into his family. You can call the God of the universe Dad. Dad, Abba, Father. The Lord desires intimacy with you, relationship with you. He will always hear your prayers. Any good father will hear the prayers of his kids. The Lord is here to guide you, to lead you. He's your counselor. He's your wisdom. He's your rest. Jesus is your peace. Peace with you. Peace with the Father. May any heavy burdens that you have, may you place them at the feet of Christ today. Is there anything that you're going through that Jesus can't handle? That you and him can't deal with together? Lord, we praise you for the liberty that you've given us in your Son. We thank you for the freedoms we get to enjoy this day. That our prayers here this morning at 5000 Branca Parkway are just as effective or even more effective than at the Western Wall in Jerusalem right now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. In our cars, we pray. In our homes, we pray. In our church, we assemble as one body to pray and seek the face of God. We worship you this morning, Lord, in spirit, with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And Lord, this morning we worship you in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of our salvation. Praise you, Lord. Lord, give us power to live this next week. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be and do the things you've asked us to do. Lord, help us not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. May the Spirit of the living God, the power of the living God, fill our lives this week. May we walk in the courage of Christ and the strength of Christ. Thank you, Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. God, may we just believe this is true and may we walk in truth. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who would believe that Jesus is saying what is true would say what?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.